If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full-service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
I was becoming very good at becoming the invisible kid. I was born in Hong Kong. I immigrated to Canada when I was 14 years old. First day, I didn't even go out the door. I was so afraid. I was one of the only three Chinese in my school. I was getting bullied, I was getting beat up, I was getting pushed around. I would never ask questions, never put up my hand. Right after school, I would just grab my backpack, go to my locker, not look at anyone, not make any eye contact, and just go home. Shortly after that, my mom and dad got divorced when I was 16 years old. One day when I came home from school, my mom was staying in the bedroom, but she was talking on the phone with somebody. And then after the phone call, she opened up the door and I could see, like, she was crying. I said, "Mom, is everything okay?" And she's like, "Well, you know, I was talking on the phone with the dad, and he just told me he went bankrupt. Just filed for bankruptcy. He couldn't send us money anymore." My mom is always a very positive, it's just like an angel to me. But that's the first time in my entire life that I looked at my mom now in a country where she doesn't speak the language, son doesn't kind of going through high school, her face, the hopelessness. I said, "I don't care what effort it takes, I never want to see that again." I had no father figure, I had no role model. My father, quote unquote father figure, was when I watched, it was late night, I was watching a Bruce Lee movie. It was Way of the Dragon, where he fought a Chuck Norris. And he was a guy who couldn't speak English, went to Rome and got criticized. And then suddenly he was kicking ass and protecting people. So he became my hero. In a way, virtually he became that father figure I never had, that strong, muscular, strong, like kick ass kung fu master, right? Right after that, near my house, there was a karate school. So I signed up for the karate school. That gave me the confidence, that gave me courage. And then from there, I just made a commitment, whatever it takes. I don't need my dad. I'll be the man of the family. I'll take care of my mom. So that's when I started thinking about, okay, how can I do something to make some money? And I was mowing lawns for people. I was delivering, you know, paper, anything that would make a buck, really. I was trying all kinds of business ideas. And then afterwards, I started my own one-man advertising agency. And that was my first taste of success. It was being able to provide for my mom. Finally, now I could go to a grocery store and not have to go to the almost expired section to buy fruit and vegetables. That was very, very much the turning point. So afterwards, so I haven't talked to my dad for a number of years, right? Because I was angry at him. Until I had matured a little bit, then I call him and then we would talk about what happened. And he could see me, you know, doing very well. I was making about $10,000 a month as a young guy, six figure a year. I knew he was just getting by, and he was worrying about a place to live. So at that time, I went back to Hong Kong, and I was walking down the street, the city in Hong Kong. We stopped. I said, "Dad, you see that window up there?" "Yeah." I reached in my pocket. I pulled a set of keys. I put it in his hands. My dad looked puzzled. I said, "Dad, I bought that unit for you. You got a place to live in now. This is yours." He was bawling. All he could say is, "Son, let's go get lunch. That look made everything worthwhile. At the time we talked, he said, you know, next week, son, I'm going into the hospital for a regular checkup. And then I know the date after he did a checkup, I didn't get the call. I thought it was a bit strange. The next day I got a call from my aunt. I picked up the phone, it was like 3 a.m., very late at night. Your dad's in an emergency. So what happened? Well, he found that he needed surgery immediately. We need to operate him. But at the time, I was chasing the biggest deal, I've ever done in my life. I said, I had to be in the U.S. I got to finish this before I would come back, because it's a very important deal. I had to do a little video conference with my dad. I could see him in the hospital, hair all gray. He had this tube. He couldn't speak. I said, Dad, as soon as I finish, I will come back and see you, right? And I thought I would make him proud. I thought I would close the deal. I'll go to Hong Kong. I never thought about it. And that was the last time I talked to him. That was it. I never got to say goodbye. I never got to say anything. It's the biggest regret. It's truly the biggest regret. And I wish I had knew I had. And from that point on, I realized something, that I was chasing achievement, was chasing all these things. And when suddenly my dad was gone, suddenly all this stuff means a lot less. It suddenly means a lot less to me about fame, money, wealth, all this stuff. I believe in life you go through kind of four stages. The first stage is what I call survival, which is where I was when I was very young. And then going from survival to security. You're paying the bills. You got a roof over your head, you got a car, you're taking care of your family. And then a percentage of the people would move to what I call stage three, which is success. When you're successful, you don't just have everything you need, you have everything you want. And I operate in that phase, at that stage, for the first, I would say, 10 years of my career. And then after that incident, after my dad passed away, then I shift from success to significance. When you shift from success to significance, it's no longer just about you. It's no longer just about, hey, here's what I want. Here's what I want to have. Here's what I want to own. From a poor immigrant boy who couldn't speak a word of English, now my work is impacting people in 100 countries. It sounds so cliche, but it is. What's your legacy? What's your impact? What do you want to leave behind? What do you want to be known for after you're gone? Our society, we don't take the time to just slow down a bit to be grateful and find the little things to be grateful. The people around me, my family, my friends, my team, my students, every little thing. All the tragedy, all the mistakes, all the headaches, all the hardship. You might not like it. You would probably hate it, but you would look back and that would be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. All depends on how you interpret it. And that's why people, they keep chasing and chasing and chasing the next thing. They're never happy. If you're not grateful with what you have, you're not going to be grateful even if you have more. So I say it's be grateful with what you have while you strive for more.